Hello, I'm Angela and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 29th of October 2025.
Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD, simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have me, Angela, Ian, Liz, Mohammed, Helen, Dan, Rihanna, Mina, Simon, and of course, not forgetting Roger. In this week's edition, we have all the latest from Beacon, including the Lifestyle newsletter for November with Dan. We have some fascinating nostalgia from Rihanna and some latest news from the Black Country too, including information about a way we can help shape the skill set of our future eye health professionals. We continue our journey round the Wrekin with Michael and Leslie Bratcher. We have our weekly dose of spooks with Talking News contributor and Hammer House of Horror enthusiast David Smith. And there's plenty of seasonal fun in the quiz this week too, as we have a Halloween I Spy activity with Roger and Mina. With November nigh, what does the weather hold for us? We hear from Mina, who has the forecast for the week ahead. There's all the reaction to the weekend's rather deflating football action for Wolves and West Brom. And of course, we have the latest goings-on from the village of Leaford, our exclusive drama series written by local authors John Marks and Michael Bracher, with audio also provided by Michael and Leslie Bracher. Local news to start, though. Now, would you like to help support the optometrists of the future and receive a thoughtful and generous gift of gratitude in the process too? Well, we caught up with Dr. Elizabeth Barklam, Teaching Fellow and BSc Optometry Year 3 tutor at Aston University, to find out a little bit more. She said, "We are currently looking for people who have an eye condition to sit for a day for the students. This is to enable the students access to eye conditions to enable them a better understanding as they move forward into practice. This is not the low vision clinic service, but a whole day event we call the Grand Rounds to provide the students with valuable exposure so they can provide the best care for their patients in their eventual place of employment as they move towards the end of the programme. The date for this event is Monday the 3rd of November and is all day from 9:15am to 3:30pm. The person must have an eye condition. To thank the person for their valuable time, the university provides £60 in Love to Shop vouchers. Due to new government policy and the fact the university provides vouchers to the person attending, they do need to undergo a right to work check, which involves bringing a passport, even if it's out of date, with them on the day for this check. If the person does not have a passport, then a birth certificate along with an official document with the person's national insurance number is accepted in place of the passport. If you or if you know anyone who may be able to assist in this educational event, please contact our reception team on icare@aston.ac.uk or call them on 0121 204-3900. For further support or assistance in expressing your interest in the Grand Rounds event, you can also contact Satvia, Beacon's Sight Loss Advisor, on 01902 880 111. Time now to find out about all that's planned for the month ahead, as it's the Beacon Lifestyle newsletter.
Beacon Lifestyle newsletter. Welcome to November 2025. Would you like to receive this newsletter in a different format? Please contact us on 01902 880111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Welcome to November. I hope you had a lovely October as autumn is in full swing. We had a great time for a Halloween party, cinema, bowling and trips to the garden centre in October. Let's continue the good times into November. And below is a display of the autumn crafts done by our Lifestyle Centre members. VIP sessions. These sessions are held monthly and the activities are designed with you to ensure we meet your needs. Our VIP group is a friendly bunch of people with sight loss who like to try new activities, build friendships and encourage others to live lives to the full. Each meeting costs £3.50. If you want to be part of a community that truly understands your experiences and you wish to attend or find out more, please email Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111. VIP Queen's Cross. This group meets at Queen's Cross Network on Wellington Road, DY1 1RB in the Cafe Plaza. That's the first Friday of each month from 1pm to 3pm. Refreshments are available to purchase at the venue. And on Friday the 7th of November, we'll be having a health and wellbeing session with our very own Dan. VIP Brett Young. This group is at Brett Young Gateway, Old Horn Lane, Hales Owen, B63 3ST. You are able to purchase tea and coffee at the venue. The session is 1pm to 3pm, and that's every second Monday of the month. So the next one on Monday the 10th of November, we're having a health and wellbeing session with our very own Dan. VIP Beacon. This group is at Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. On Wednesday the 26th of November, we'll be actually going out for a Christmas meal at the Newbridge. So this will be in the daytime for this one. The table is booked from 12pm. It would be lovely if you could join us. A £5 deposit will be required by Friday the 7th of November if you do wish to attend. So that's a £5 deposit to myself by Friday the 7th of November, please. VIP Stourbridge. So this is an exciting new group spreading out to our friends in the Stourbridge area. The group will be located at the Sunshine Club in Stourbridge, which is number 6 Crowell Drive, DY97NY. The sessions will run from 10am to 12pm on the second Monday of each month. So this month's session will be on the 10th, Monday the 10th of November, where we'll be running a series of health and wellbeing workshops over the coming months. And VIP Kings Winford. This is another new group spreading out to our friends in the Kings Winford area. This group will be located at the Kings Winford Medical Practice, Stanshill Road, Kings Winford, DY68DN. These sessions will run from 10am to 12pm on the first Friday of each month. So this month's session will be on Friday the 7th of November, where again we'll be running a series of health and wellbeing workshops over the coming months. November sessions. To book on, contact Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111. Beacon events are designed to be as accessible and enjoyable as possible for people living with sight loss. To help make this happen, we always ensure members of the Beacon team are on hand to support participants throughout each activity. Whether that's guiding, offering help with practical arrangements, and making sure everyone feels confident and included and comfortable. The cost to Beacon listed, each event helps us cover the staffing and support we provide to make the experience site-friendly. Where transport is provided, this is charged separately at cost price. And we'll be holding a booking session for our November activities on Thursday the 30th of October at Beacon Court's Communal Lounge, and that'll be from 10am to 12pm. So we'll have the book club on Thursday the 6th of November, and that will be at Beacon Courts Communal Lounge from 10:30am to 12:30pm. The cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support. So join us as we all love to talk all things books and always on the hunt for new authors and stories. Tea, coffee and biscuits will all be available. On Thursday the 6th of November, we're going on a trip to the Garden Centre. We'll be departing Beacon at 10:30am on Thursday the 6th of November and returning around 2:30pm. And that'll be at the All Brighton Garden Centre. It's on Newport Road, All Brighton, Wolverhampton, WV7 3EE. So the cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 for transport. On Tuesday the 11th of November, we'll be going swimming at the Burt Williams Leisure Centre, Nettlefold Way, Bilston, WV14 0EF. We're departing Beacon at 11am and returning around 1:30pm. The cost of that is £6.50 for staffing support and the late hire itself, plus £5.50 for the transport. And please remember a token or a pound for the locker. On Friday the 14th of November, we're having our West Park walk. We'll be departing Beacon at 10:30 a.m. and returning around 1:30, 2 p.m. The cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 transport. Join us for a gentle stroll around West Park with plenty of time to enjoy the scenery and socialise. Our staff will be there for us to assist and ensure the walk is accessible for all. On Tuesday the 18th of November, we're having a shopping trip and we'll be leaving Beacon at 10:30 and returning in about 2:30. We'll be going to Maryhill on a shopping trip. So come along and get your Christmas essentials and enjoy some retail therapy with us. The cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 for transport. Pop-up cinema will be coming on the Thursday the 20th of November. That again will be in Beacon Courts Communal Lounge from about 10:30 to about 12:30 on Thursday the 20th of November. The cost there is £5 for the staffing support and the cost of the cinema. We'll be having a pop-up cinema in Beacon's Communal Lounge. The film will be Tomorrow Morning, which is a musical film that tells a story of a couple, Bill and Catherine, through two separate timelines 10 years apart. We're going bowling on Friday the 21st of November. Now, there'll be a cost of £7.25 directly at the venue, and that will be at 10-pin Dudley, Castle Gateway, Dudley, DY1-1TA. We'll be leaving Beacon around 10:30 a.m. and returning about 1:30 p.m, 2 o'clock. The cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 for the transport. So come and join us for a fun morning of 10-pin bowling, whether you're a seasoned pro or first-time player. Everyone is welcome. Our friendly group is always keen to find new teammates. Could you be the one to get the top score? So Beacon staff will be on hand throughout to support you and make sure the session is accessible and enjoyable. And on Monday the 24th of November, we've got a cooking session in our Lifestyle Centre kitchen from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And that cost will be £2.50. And we'll be cooking a Baileys Christmas cheesecake, the Baileys is optional, in our Lifestyle Centre kitchen. And the ingredients list will be enclosed within this newsletter. So on Wednesday the 26th of November, we're going on a Christmas meal. And we'll be leaving the Beacon around 11:45 a.m. and coming back for 2:30 p.m. So we're going for a Christmas meal at Newbridge. So please come along and enjoy this festive meal. The cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support, plus the £5.50 for the transport. And there is a £5 deposit required, which you can give to me for the meal, which is required by Friday the 7th of November. We'll have our booking session for our activities in December and January on Thursday the 27th of November, and that'll be in Beacon Courts Communal Lounge, 10 a.m. again to 12 p.m. So please come along to our booking session for the activities, as I say, throughout December and January. And on Friday the 28th of November, we've got our Bantock Park walk, which is departing Beacon at 10:30 a.m. and returns about 1:30 p.m. 2 o'clock. And the cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 for transport. So yeah, join us for a stroll around Bantock Park with plenty of time to enjoy the scenery and socialise. Our staff will be there throughout to assist and ensure the walk is accessible for everyone and thoroughly enjoyable. Further notes for November, we have a bowel screen awareness session, and the date of that is on Tuesday the 11th of November, and that is at our Lifestyle Centre within the social room, and that will be from 1:15 p.m. to 2:15 p.m. So we'll have a member of the Health Inequalities team from the NHS coming in for a session, which will cover the following. So learn what bowel cancer screening is and how the FIT test kit works. Discover the new FIT aid tool, a simple accessible aid with tactile guides and audio large print instructions to help people with sight loss complete the test independently. Find out how to get information in braille, large print or audio in regards to this. Hear from our screening practitioners and professionals, and just ask questions to get practical, friendly advice in a relaxed space. So if you'd like to attend, please email inquiries@beaconvision.org or just call the main reception on 01902 880 111. Further notes for the future. We have an AI playbook workshop coming, and the date is to be confirmed. So we'd love to invite you to a friendly workshop led by the West Midlands Association of Directors of Adult Social Care Services, the Lived Experience and Co-Production and Digital team. We want to hear from you how you use AI, what's worked well and what's been tricky. Your insights will help us co-create an AI playbook that's shaped by real life experiences. We're also hoping to gather a few case studies to include in the guidebook so others can learn from your story and feel confident exploring digital tools in ways that are safe and useful. Now, as I said, the date is to be confirmed with that one, but just to kind of let you know that that is something that's coming up. So if you'd like more information on this, please email inquiries@beaconvision.org or come my reception again on 01902 880 111. Ingredients for November cooking session. So we're doing a Bailey's Christmas cheesecake. So 100 grams of butter, 250 grams of milk or dark chocolate digestive biscuits crushed, 200 grams of Philadelphia cream cheese, the Bailey's, which is optional, 50 grams of icing sugar, and 150 ml of double cream whipped. And so obviously please feel free to adapt this cheesecake recipe, replace the Bailey's whatever you fancy, and just generally, we can also adapt it in general. So please come along and cook up a storm in our lifestyle kitchen. Please remember your containers to take your cheesecake home with you. An 8-inch/20cm cake tin, loose bottom would be ideal to take it home. Beacon Gym. So contact Daniel Clark, dclark at beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111 to book in. Do you want to exercise in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Want to join classes or exercise independently? Or you're someone that works out regularly or wants to start? The gym is open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It costs £5 per session, or you can have membership from £22 per month. You must complete a health questionnaire and induction before you start, and please sign in to use the gym at our reception. We do have a few classes in the gym as well this month, so we have chair exercises on Wednesday the 19th of November from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and the cost that will be £2.50 for staffing and support. We'll also have indoor bowls on Monday the 3rd of November from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and again on Monday the 17th of November from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. The cost again is £2.50 for staffing and support, and below is a picture of a man playing bowls. Meet the staff. Hi, my name is Dan. It's actually me. I'm your community lifestyle and gym coordinator here at the Beacon Centre. And I've been working at the Beacon for just over a year now. And I've really enjoyed my time and getting to know a lot of you over that time. I enjoy the variety of the role and getting to help as many people as possible. And I look forward to continue to help and support you all in the future. My interest outside of work is I like my football. My Wolves season to get older, so don't hold that against me. And I also enjoy my cricket, darts and snooker. Anything sporty, I enjoy. Outside of that, I also enjoy my video games, music and a bit of comedy. And below is a picture of myself, Dan. Beacon Sight Loss Shop Drop-Ins. So pop in for a chat with a sight loss advisor, here to have advice, guidance and support of equipment. So the next drop-in will be in the Sedgley Shop on Tuesday the 4th of November. And then the Penquid Shop on Wednesday the 3rd of December. The Pattingham Shop on Thursday the 8th of January. The Hales Owen Shop on Tuesday the 3rd of Feb. And again the Sedgley Shop on Thursday the 5th of March. And those drop-ins will run from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on those dates.
It's back! The 10th annual Beacon Santa Run, a fun 5K route around West Park in Wolverhampton, this December in our 150th year. Whether you want to walk, run, skip or hop, this event is for everyone. Families, friends and even your four-legged friends. All while supporting people living with sight loss. Register now for the 10th annual Beacon Santa Run on the 7th of December 2025. By calling 01902 880 111. Or you can visit our website at www.beaconvision.org.
Beacon presents a relaxed holiday club for children and young people living with sight loss, along with their parents, siblings and carers. And these holiday clubs are based at Cherry Street, SEND, and Sensory Hub, WV3, 0QW, fun for the family, crafts, activities and enjoyment. These will be taking place on Monday the 22nd of December 2025 and Tuesday the 17th of February 2026, both from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Please call 01902 880 111 or email dclark@beaconvision.org for further information.
Sedgley Lifestyle Centre. We are open Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at our base in Sedgley. We run several activities each day, including cookery, crafting, pottery, computer work, gym sessions, listening to music, quizzes and reminiscing. We keep well hydrated with tea, coffee and water, and we have the restaurant to attend to for a hot meal if we don't bring our sandwiches with us. We are lively, fun and love to have a laugh. Why not come and join us for a trial day? Contact Beacon's reception and ask for more information. You can call us on 01902 880111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Now, how would you like to help combat loneliness? Well, if you have 30 minutes free during the week, then as a befriending volunteer, you could do just that. Beacon's Befriending Service is here to offer friendship, support and help to anyone who may be feeling isolated and or lonely. As a volunteer, you will be paired with someone based on common interests and all volunteering is flexible to suit your needs. So it could be arranged for support to be provided over the phone. If you're interested, contact our team by calling 01902 880111 or emailing inquiries@beaconvision.org.
Accommodation at Beacon Court. Each apartment at Beacon Court has its own front door, individual access card, two bedrooms, store, wet/shower room, kitchen with appliances, gas central heating and double glazed windows. Beacon provides 24/7 care team on site to deal with any emergencies 365 days a year. There's a pull cord in each apartment that can be used in an emergency. You also get 30 minutes a week of well-being time to go through anything you like, such as help with post or paying bills. If you want any further information on accommodation at Beacon Court, please contact Chris Lamb on 01902 882 170 or email christopher.lamb@bromford.co.uk.
Thanks a lot for that update. Up next, we have another block of local news.
One of the first female doctors in the West Midlands, who passed up the chance to compete in the Olympics to instead focus on medicine, has died aged 94. While studying medicine at Leeds University, Gwendolyn Plumley was approached by athletics coaches to enter trials for the 1952 Olympics. But she decided her studies would suffer and chose instead to concentrate on her medical career. Dr. Gwen Harris, as she became, worked at Royal Shrewsbury Hospital before becoming a school's medical officer in West Bromwich and later a GP in Tipton. She died on October the 5th at New Cross Hospital, Wolverhampton, after a short illness. Daughter Deborah Castle said she really was a remarkable woman, a trailblazer and inspiration for female medics in the 1950s. A wonderful wife, mother and granny, she was respected by her patients, loved by her family and will be missed by all who knew her. Born on April the 30th, 1931 in Brockenhurst, Hampshire, she was the eldest of two daughters to master baker, chauffeur and bus driver Archibald Plumley and his wife Ruth. As D-Day approached, she became acutely aware of military manoeuvres on the Solent behind her home, but was told to keep quiet and not mention to anyone what she saw. That was difficult for a 12 to 13 year old when it seemed her previously quiet home was being invaded, said Deborah. She saw a lot of soldiers running past the back of the house, but her dad told her she mustn't tell anyone, and she didn't until she was in her 80s. In her early teens, Gwen set her heart on becoming a doctor and spent school holidays at a local hospital to gain some experience. She was the first girl from her sixth form to gain a place at medical school and was one of only four female students out of an intake of about 65 to gain a place on the medical course at Leeds University. During her school years, she discovered an aptitude for high jumping and the 200-meter sprint, representing Hampshire in athletics competitions. She continued with the jumping during her university years at Leeds, and she was approached by athletics coaches to trial for the 1952 Olympics, but decided her medical studies would suffer if she pursued an athletics career. She continued to jump for British universities in international competitions, and it was at the university's Christian Union that she met her future husband, Bernard Harris. The couple married in 1957, and Gwen started working at Royal Shrewsbury Hospital, where Bernard was a curate. After spells in Newcastle under Lyme and Stoke-on-Trent, the couple settled in Hilltop, West Bromwich, in 1966, where Gwen became school's medical officer, while Bernard became vicar of St James's Church. The couple later moved to Sedgley, where Bernard took up the post as rector of All Saints Church, and Dr. Harris became senior partner at Glebefield's GP practice in Tipton. Gwen retired in 1991, and Bernard retired 2 years later. For a time, they went to live in Bernard's home county of Lancashire, but they returned to live in Sedgley. The couple were married for 68 years. They were inseparable, says Deborah. She leaves widower Bernard, 6 children, son Jonathan and daughters Deborah, Kath, Caroline, Sarah and Joanna, 19 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. Sadly, Gwen never saw the 6th great-grandchild, Lenny, who was born days after her death. Her funeral will be held at 1 p.m. on November the 4th at St. Peter's Collegiate Church, Wolverhampton, where she was a well-known member of the congregation.
Time now for a spooktacular brain teaser with an audio descriptive I Spy activity quiz. This week, Roger's challenging us all to find as many words we would associate with Halloween as we can from this one-way conversation brain teaser. Wishing you good luck.
Hello again, everyone. Well, here we are with another I Spy game for you to find the seasonal words lurking in the story. The results, of course, will be revealed later on. I'll see how many you can find. So off we go. Well, with Halloween fast approaching, I thought I'd better start getting in the mood for the spooky event. The shops have been full of all sorts of ghoulish things to buy for a few weeks now. I started off getting some of that awful spider web stuff to drape on our bushes at the drive, and a string of pumpkin lights leading up the path, so any trick-or-treaters could enjoy. I stocked up with the sweets that I could put into a skull-shaped bowl to offer anyone who called. There were bloodshot eyeballs in chocolate, gummy green worms, and licorice spiders with red eyes. I decided to get into the spirit of the night and dressed up as Count Dracula. I wore a black cape and some horrible-looking false fangs in my mouth. I even scared myself when I looked in the mirror. The doorbell rang and I opened it to welcome the first callers, and I was confronted by a mummy in toilet roll bandages and a zombie dressed in tatty clothes. We actually had a tricker turn up wearing a bloody plastic axe in his head and another with a blood-stained shirt and a big red gash in makeup round his neck. It was all good fun and everyone had a good time. All the treats were used up and I'm sure my costume didn't frighten anyone. I was pleased to see, though, that all the kids who came were accompanied by an adult.
Cheers for those questions, Roger. I'll get my mind working on them. Now, with it being Halloween this week, here's a little treat for you. What do you call a cow with a witch's hat? A moogician. And nearly 70 years ago, it was the tricks and antics of an escaped cow that spooked out the streets of Wolverhampton. Here's our Talking News contributor, Rihanna, with a tale of bone-chilling bovine intervention.
Drama in Dudley Street. Amid screams and panic, Wolverhampton shoppers were thrown to the ground in a scene captured by a photograph published in the Express and Star, and 5 people would be taken to hospital. The cause? An unexpected cow which ran amok in the busy town centre streets. Today, Wolverhampton is a city with a traffic-free heart where cows never tread, but in living memory, some cattle were still being driven through the streets, albeit only a short distance, in a last echo of an age-old practice. Which brings us to the events of Friday, April 11th, 1958, when a heifer made a dash for freedom while being taken to Wolverhampton Abattoir in Cleveland Road, causing chaos among traffic and shoppers. It made its way along Piper's Row, Castle Street, Market Street and Queen Street before ending up in Dudley Street, where it blundered into Hepworth's menswear shop, knocking down 68-year-old Mrs. Alice Bate of Rayleigh Road, who was in the entrance to the arcade and would be the first casualty to go to hospital. The heifer slithered and slipped on the parquet flooring before making its way into the fitting room, where it stood quietly for a while, as if it was in a stall. Drovers and a cattle lorry were brought up, but the cow was not coming quietly and started to thrash around in the changing room, breaking furniture and shattering a large mirror. Ignoring the cattle wagon, it rushed across the crowded street and crashed through the plate glass window of Lipton's grocery shop opposite. Dozens of people fell to the ground as the animal ran through them. It was as if people had been mowed down by a Tommy gun, said Wolverhampton Chronicle reporter John Porter, who witnessed it. As it scrambled over the packed window display, customers and assistants ran screaming from the shop. Having suffered cuts in its rampage, the bleeding heifer then ran out of the shop and down Dudley Street, scattering people once more and breaking the window of Turner's shoe shop, leaving a scene like a battlefield. It then made the fatal mistake of turning into a roadway alongside the butcher's shop of J.H. Dewhurst and entering a yard. The yard gate was promptly shut and the escapade was at an end. Four other cows were driven into the yard, which calmed the heifer. During the incident, Wolves winger Jimmy Mullen, who'd been to the bank, played his part by blocking the Queen's Square end of the street with his van. Of the five people taken to the Royal Hospital in Wolverhampton, only Mrs. Bate, who had a hip injury, was kept in. In the aftermath, questions were asked about the Dudley Street Panic Run, which was the second escape incident in just a few months. Although hundreds of animals went to the abattoir by lorry, about 200 cattle a week went on foot from private lairages in Warsall Street, meaning a 200-yard trot from Warsall Street across the main Wolverhampton-Bilston junction, the mouth of Piper's Row, into the private road leading into the abattoir. According to an article by Bev Parker on the Wolverhampton History and Heritage Society website, the cattle market and abattoir were a well-known feature on the eastern side of the town centre until the early 1970s, when the whole area was redeveloped to make way for the Ring Road. The last auction, she says, was held in November 1970. As for the escaped heifer, there was never going to be a happy ending. It was loaded along with its four companions onto a cattle lorry and taken to the abattoir, but at least it had one final adventure.
And keeping in theme with Halloween, you'll be delighted to hear that over the next few weeks we'll be bringing another extra special series of horror, brought to us by our very own spooktacular Talking News contributor, David Smith. David will be reviewing some of his more unfangettable favourite Hammer House of Horror movies.
Frankenstein created Woman. Made in 1966, along with The Mummy's Shroud, these were the last films to be made at Hammer's famous Bray Studios. The film begins with a fine pre-credit sequence in which a man is guillotined for murder. The man's young son, Hans, witnesses the execution. The opening credits then play, and then events move forward 15 years, where Hans passes the site of his father's execution, which brings back the memory of that day. Starring as Baron Frankenstein for the fourth time for Hammer, Peter Cushing is experimenting to prove that the soul survives after death. One night after he proves his theory, he asks Hans to go to the local cafe to buy champagne in order to celebrate. Hans is in love with the cafe's owner's daughter, Christina, who has facial scarring. Three men come into the cafe and start teasing her, and when one of them violently pushes her after she accidentally spills wine on him, he starts fighting with all three and slashes one across the face with a knife. The police arrive, and while they hold him, the cafe owner manages to take the knife from him, to which he says, "I will kill you for that." The policeman then says, "Then you will go the same way as your father." Later that night, after disturbing the same three men stealing wine from his cafe, he's beaten to death by them. Hans is accused of the murder, and when asked where he was at the time of the murder, he would not say because he was with Christina. Hans is guillotined, the execution witnessed by Christina, who then commits suicide by throwing herself into the river. Baron Frankenstein manages to get both bodies and transfers Hans' soul into the body of Christina. He repairs the scarring on her face, and at certain times Hans' soul takes over her mind, and one by one she kills the three men who made her life a misery and had him wrongly guillotined for murder. When Frankenstein confronts her in order to explain who she is, she replies, "I know who I am and what I have to do." She then jumps into the river and commits suicide once more. This was the third of Hammer's Frankenstein films to be directed by Terence Fisher and contained music by James Bernard.
We are pleased to now introduce local author and musical duo Michael and Leslie Brachia in our new podcast star segment, Round the Reeking, which will champion fascinating accounts of courage and achievement despite life sometimes taking us, well, round the reeking and the long way round.
Welcome to Around the Reeking with Mike and Leslie. I'm Mike.
And I'm Leslie.
Right, today, we're going to talk about the Black Country.
Yeah.
The places of interest around the Black Country. And what we thought is, I'd hand over to you, because you've been coming down to the Black Country for the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
You've lived in the Black Country for three years.
And a half, yeah.
But you've been around quite a few places, so we thought we'd sort of think about the places that you've been to. I mean, I've lived in the Black Country all my life, so I've been to all of these places and more.
Mm.
But sometimes people who don't live in the Black Country or are new to it actually get more interested in some of the local attractions, like the Black Country Museum. Mm. People from Telford and Birmingham and further afield seem to be more interested in that than the locals.
Yeah.
So over to you to kick this off, really.
There's a few places we've been to over the last two or three years. The one that springs to mind straight away is Dudley Zoo. We went to the zoo and castle with Philip. And I know we saw all sorts of different animals there.
Yeah.
And I know we went in and had something to eat in the restaurant there. But the thing that I remember most about it was on one of the passes through the sort of courtyard area of the castle, where it's like a grassed area, there was a birds of prey demonstration.
Oh, yes, there was, wasn't there?
I love anything like that.
Yeah, it was great.
Particularly owls, I love.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason that it sticks in my mind is there was one little, it was a little owl.
It was.
A proper little character he was.
But he was walking.
Yes.
Like the Ronnie Corbett of the owl community.
I don't know if he was misbehaving, doing what they expected him to, but he was a proper little character. So that's why it sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
But I mean, the castle was fabulous because I love a castle.
I just remember the other end of that circle, there's grasses in there with the ruins around the big lawns where the birds of prey were.
Mm.
But just down the steps is where the sea lions were.
That's right. There was one really big sea lion on the left-hand side.
Asleep there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was great. And Philip was fascinated. But that's a good memory.
Yeah.
I used to be able to, as a kid, going up to the zoo with Mum and Dad. I lived in Dudley, 10 minutes walk from the zoo.
Yeah.
But you used to be able to go right up the top of the castle. Fantastic views. Because it's I think Dudley was established in about 1102, which is about 36 years after the Norman invasion. Yeah, so you can see how quickly they, from 1066, how long it took them to get as far as the Midlands, or was it called Mercia then?
Not sure.
Anyway, and of course it's a perfect location on top of a high hill for defensive means, and the views are fantastic. Mm. But for health and safety, I don't think it's safe now. It's all cordoned off, wasn't it? So it's a castle. Ah, so you enjoyed the zoo?
Yeah.
It's a long walk around the zoo, is it?
Yeah. You should break it up by having a drink or something to eat, and then do the rest of the tour.
Yeah. So
and another thing that we went to recently, I mean, having been driving past almost on a daily basis, I'd never been in the Rouseglass Cone.
Oh, yes.
And we were invited to sing at an event there.
Yes.
So
that's right.
We went along expecting to be singing somewhere outside.
Charity gig. Yeah.
Somewhere outside. And they actually put us, set us up to sing inside the cone, which was a really odd experience because of the acoustics in there. It was all very echoey, wasn't it? I've got a picture sort of standing at the bottom looking, photograph.
Yeah, it's huge.
Standing at the bottom looking right up into the chimney of it.
Yeah, that was great.
But we haven't yet been across the road into the new glass museum, that's something we ought to think about.
Yeah, the cone, that's a good one for people who are visiting the Black Country. Mm. It's part of the history, isn't it?
Because I'm interested in glass, because coming from St. Helens, my family had connections with glass in some places.
The Wordsley glass is well known in the Midlands, and there's some fantastic demonstrations of jewellery making with glass in there, and you can watch them work.
Yeah.
Very intricate work. It's really, really, really clever. In fact, the lady that booked us, I think she does a bit of that, doesn't she?
I'm not sure.
I think, yeah. The cone, so anyone else that...
Well, a year or so ago, we decided that it might be a good idea to try and get a bit more exercise. And so on a weekly basis, we were taking Philip on a walk somewhere.
Yes.
So somewhere that Philip's already really familiar with is Himley Hall. So we went round the grounds of Himley Hall. Yeah. We walked all the way around the lake, didn't we?
Yes. Used to be owned by the Earl of Dudley.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who owns it now, whether it's Wolverhampton Council.
I know there are events put on there. Yeah. Is there a bonfire there? Yeah.
It's on the border of Dudley and Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
But the Earl of Dudley owned Round Oak Steelworks, which closed in the early 80s. Because that used to be called the Earl of Dudleys.
Mm.
People who worked at Round Oak back into the 50s and 60s, it was always called the Earl of Dudleys. That's what it used to be called.
Right,
the steelworks, massive steelworks. But Himley Hall is where... That's where he used to live. And I think the king, the previous king, which was George...
The sixth.
Either the fifth or sixth had been there. So
that was one place we went for a walk.
Yeah.
And then we also went...
Down the lake.
We went to Baggeridge.
Yes.
I know that's somewhere that Philip had been before.
And that was coal pits. That was coal pits serving places like Round Oak. The railway walks are still there.
We started the walks at the Wombone Walk, didn't we? That used to be a railway, didn't it? There.
Michael Portillo's been on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
When
we were at Baggeridge, there came a point where it got quite steep and I wouldn't go any further. So I sat at a picnic table at the bottom while you went up the hill with Philip.
Is that
where the Toposcope is up there?
Toposcope, yeah. And I didn't even know what the Toposcope was.
No, no. I mean, I knew, I went up the Wrekin back in 1999. And that there's one of those up there, but I didn't know what it was called.
It's like...
it looks like a sundial, doesn't it? It can be various directions to telling you what you can see from
Usually
there.
Usually it looks like a pile of bricks and there's a sundial on them, and it might describe the different counties you can see and what directions they are. And it's a great view as well.
Yeah, perhaps on another occasion I'd be brave enough to try it.
There's another gentler way up, I think.
Right. That's where we went wrong.
So that's Baggeridge anyway.
I know we did King's Winford Park, but we went to Mary Stevens Park as well, didn't we, on one of our walks? And we had to go on the outdoor gym, didn't we, with it, trainers and things.
Yes. Yes, Philip enjoyed that, didn't he?
We've got photographs of Philip on those from some time ago before I came on
the scene.
And
then the obligatory cake and coffee.
Ridiculously expensive cake and coffee.
Yes.
Yeah. Sort of counteracts the idea of can the exercise if you take on tons of calories and the cake afterwards.
Well, it's like going to the gym and going to the pub afterwards. Six pints, isn't it, really? So Mary Stevens Park, if you haven't been to any of these places we mentioned, they're worth a go, aren't they? Some lovely places. Yeah, so Mary Stevens Park in Stourbridge.
In the last few months, we've sort of done a whistle-stop tour of all the libraries, haven't we?
We have.
In the Dudley area. We started off doing a Christmas gig at the main Dudley Library.
Yes,
and then you had your book launch there as well.
Yes.
But we've also shown our faces in all the libraries, haven't we?
Christmas gig, that's December 24.
Yeah.
And the book was April 25. So, but yeah, the Christmas gig, we were the first ones to do music at Dudley.
Mm.
Other people have done it since. And of course, the year before, we met Lenny Henry.
That's right, he was doing his book signing, wasn't he?
At Dudley Library. And then we went round all the libraries. But our two main libraries that we've been associated with have been King Swinford and Wordsley.
Yes, we're members of the Friends group celebrating their 10th anniversary.
Yes. Yes.
Because we like to go to the quiz and things like that.
That's
but
right.
we have
That's
performed right. there. They invited us to perform for the group, haven't they? And,
yes. Formed at King Swinford Library, Wordsley Library. And also, next to the people, if people know Wordsley Green, they'll know the community centre, which is by the library and the GP practice. And we played there.
We actually ran our own sessions there for about 18 months.
Yeah. Monthly sessions, which.
But there are other community centres in the area. Mm. I mean, I'm aware of King's Whimper, but we've never attended anything
We've
attended groups at Wallheath and Wordsley Green.
Yes.
And then we've performed at a couple of events at Brockmoor Community Centre.
Just mentioned Brockmoor. Mm. Might be worth giving a mention. When we were in Weston-super-Mare, it's a little bit off the subject. Mm. But there's a link between Weston-super-Mare and Brockmoor, isn't there?
Yes, unbelievably.
Did you believe?
When we went on holiday, I don't know if we mentioned this when we were talking about holidays. But
possibly. I think we did.
The first time you ever went in an Italian restaurant was down in Weston.
Because I was never allowed in one before, you see, without a care worker.
But the the other branch of the same chain is Il Michelangelo.
Yeah.
And their other branch from Weston is in Brockmoor, of all places. So we've actually been along there.
When you asked me where the other branch is, I said, Kensington, Chelsea or something.
Yeah, you'd expect it to be somewhere
Manchester,
down south, wouldn't you?
Or somewhere, you know. But
Brockmoor, of all places. We went along
really
quite recently, and that was great, wasn't it? I think we'll try and go again soon.
It's just as good in Brockmoor as Weston-super-Mare.
Yeah. Suppose the one place that we really ought to mention.
Other Italian restaurants are available.
Oh, yeah. There is one place that we should mention. Back in April 24, we got married at Dudley Registry Office.
That's right.
At the Priory.
That's right. Right in the centre of the Black Country, really, isn't it, Dudley?
Yeah.
And that's by the Priory, about 600 yards from where my grandmother lived.
Yeah.
And my mother was brought up, and only just around the corner from a church called St. Francis Church, quite a famous place locally, because that's where the funeral was held. And there's a glass memorial window, stained glass window, for the wonderful footballer Duncan Edwards, who died after the plane crash in Munich in 1958. And of course, linked to that is Central Cemetery, where that's where his grave is.
Mm.
And until a couple of years ago, Bobby Charlton used to put flowers on that every year.
Mm.
Used to come.
Yeah.
So it was a big Manchester United link there. So, yeah,
There's a couple of other places I want to mention. One is the White House, the cancer support charity, is based in Dudley.
Yeah.
Because we've been there we've been invited to sing there a couple of times. So, yeah, it's worth mentioning them. They're a lovely little charity. And I suppose also I ought to mention I've actually been to the Grand Theatre a few times.
In Wolverhampton.
And also I went to see my favourite songwriter there, at the Wolfen Hall, Richard Thompson, who was one of the founding members of Fairport Convention.
Yes.
I hadn't been to the Wolfen for a long time, but I had been before.
Good place.
So, yeah, all places of interest, fairly local to us.
Yeah, and of course, not far from there is the best football ground in the in the country, not far from there.
Not that you're biased or anything.
No, but
every time we drive past Bonnew, you shout out, "Up the Wolves," or "Me proud beauties," or something like that.
Yeah, really? No, I don't remember that.
I think it's involuntary.
It is. Raise me fist, wind the winner down, and, you know, I'll get arrested one of these days. But, you know. Okay, so you've been to some quite interesting places across the Black Country.
Yeah. And plenty more like we could probably mention as well that I haven't been to. But
Yeah. I'll just mention one as we finish. The Wordsley Waterfall.
Oh, yes. We're going to go see if we can find that.
Throw that in. See if anyone's heard of the Wordsley Waterfall.
Yes, we're going to go see if we can find that.
Anyway, I've been Mike.
And I've been Leslie. And this has been Around the Reeking with Mike and Leslie. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own Sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, it's Mina here with your forecast for the week ahead. And it's very much a case of rinse and repeat. Quite literally, as we have another forecast of wet and windy weather ahead. The low UV levels shall remain with sunrise and sunset times now at 7:10 a.m. for the sunrise and 4:35 p.m. for the sunset. As for the weather, for the spooks of Halloween and Friday 31st of October, it shall be a day of predominantly light rain with a gentle breeze from the southwest. Temperatures will actually be okay, reaching double figures at 12 degrees. Moving into the weekend, and the weather shall remain consistent as we move into the new month, with light rain showers continuing throughout both Saturday 1st and Sunday 2nd of November, with light winds still swirling in from the south. Temperatures continue to be settled at 12 degrees. Moving into next week, and the pattern of wet weather looks set to continue. However, a subtle change may also see a few more sunny intervals breaking through as the showers become less persistent. From Monday 3rd through to Thursday 6th of November, light rain and a moderate breeze is expected, with temperatures continuing to hover around 12 degrees. To note, do keep locked into local media sources for Monday's forecast, and there is a chance of the winds may intensify to something much gustier. So it does look like the weather may be a damp squib for any bonfire and firework extravaganza plans for the weekend. Nevertheless, whatever your plans may be, do stay safe and take care and enjoy the weather.
Now it's time to find out how our local football teams have been getting on.
To befit the week of Halloween, the hex of the late goal hit our teams once again, with Wolves and West Brom both losing on a bleak weekend of football for the Black Country. With emotions running high all afternoon at Molineux, beleaguered boss Vitor Pereira was also involved in an angry exchange with Wolves fans following his side's injury time defeat to Burnley. With Pereira's side searching for their first Premier League win of the campaign, they got off to the worst conceivable start, finding themselves 2-0 down to newly promoted Burnley, midway through the first half. Boos rang out around the ground, as did chants against owners Fosun and chairman Jeff Shee. Remarkably, Pereira watched his side battle back to level at the break, thanks to a Jorgen Strand-Larsen penalty and a header from Marshall Munetsi in first half stoppage time. But despite having the lion's share of possession in the second half and a little misfortune with a John Arias free kick rattling the crossbar, Wolves suffered heartbreak at the death, with Burnley substitute Lyle Foster grabbing a 95th minute winner. The goal sparked more boos as fans left the ground, while fans in the South Bank and other parts of the ground vented their frustration at Wolves players with chants of "you're not fit to wear the shirt." Chants of "sacked in the morning" were also aimed at Pereira, who was captured shouting back towards Wolves fans as he was held back by staff members. Strand Larsen was also seen going up to talk to supporters after Wolves' latest defeat, which leaves them with just 2 points from their first 9 games. Elsewhere, fans were seen exchanging words with Wolves substitute goalkeeper Jose Sarr as he left the ground. Wolves now find themselves rock bottom, 6 points from safety, with just 2 points from their opening 9 games. And all's not so strained for the Baggies, as it's 2 points that separates the Albion from those sitting in the playoff positions. However, Albion lost on their travels for the second time in 4 days, after gifting an 82nd-minute winner to Ipswich substitute Jack Clark. Ryan Mason's visitors looked well on their way to claiming a point at Portman Road, having defended well, by and large, in Suffolk, and limited Kieran McKenna's relegated Premier League outfit to a few openings. Albion were not a threat in the other direction, however, following a trend from the second half of Wednesday's Championship defeat at Watford. With that in mind, it looked like a decent point at Ipswich, struggling despite a bloated squad of riches, but the Baggies unravelled late on. Goalkeeper Josh Griffiths inexplicably looked for a short pass for Alex Mowat on the edge of his own box. Mowat was robbed and Clark eventually finished. Mason looked on crestfallen, having seen his side needlessly relinquish a share of the spoils they had worked manfully for. Fittingly, with this week marking Guy Fawkes Night, both Black Country outfits will be hoping to display some footballing fireworks of their own, desperately hoping to reverse the dejection and decline of what's become a damp squib season.
Hi guys, it's Wolves superfan Fraser here. The other day I went to the Wolves v Burnley match. Oh my gosh, guys, I'm lost for words. It was a disastrous game, I'm telling you. Within half an hour, we conceded 2 awful goals. But by half time, we're level again. We scored 2 goals. Shan Larson and Manetti, and we thought we got it and we were really upbeat. The crowd were going mad. In the second half, we huff and we puff and we threaten, but we're going nowhere, I'm telling you. But in the last minute of extra time, Burnley score the winning goal. And the crowd, as Britney Spears would call it, were going toxic. Right, let's not end it on a downer, guys. Here's a nice little joke for you. Why do bees have sticky hair? Because they use honeycombs. But guys, let's keep the faith. Come on. Come on, me mummies.
Now, here come the quiz
answers.
And they're brought to us by Mina.
Welcome to the answers for our spooktacular audio description I Spy activity quiz. This week, Roger challenged you to find as many words that you would associate with Halloween as you can from his conversation brain teaser. How did you do? Let's see. As here's the full list of answers read out in the order they were originally spoken. There were 23 words or phrases to hear today. They were spooky, ghoulish, spider web, pumpkin, trick or treater, sweets, skull, bloodshot eyeballs, worms, licorice spiders, spirit, Count Dracula, cape, fangs, mirror, mummy, zombie, tricker, axe, blood, fun, treats, frighten. Did you get them all right? If you did catch them all, then well done. And if you missed a few, hope you still enjoyed the challenge.
Thank you all for tuning in to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. It's wonderful to have you all here with us. Time now to grab yourselves a cuppa, find your comfy spot and nestle down, as we've got our exclusive new drama series, Leaford Village, that even features a catchy theme tune, composed by the outstandingly talented pianist Matthew Richards. To note, Leaford Village will be running once a month on the Talking News, so stay tuned for tales of some ordinary and not so ordinary village folk of Leaford.
Leaford Village, Episode 10, Give Peas a Chance, written by Michael Brackier and John Marks, and read by Michael Brackier and Leslie Brackier. Previously in Leaford Village, Clara has had an idea what to do with the ring. Cody is becoming infatuated with Meredith Park, waxing lyrical about her to a total stranger in the pub. Linda is about to meet Alan Gomez, who is expecting to meet her sister, Sherry. Ethel has told Clara that Sutra owes a lot of money and is in imminent danger.
Oh, hello, Nita. I didn't expect you to be at home. Clara feels her face reddening.
It's Sunday, my PPA time, which I never get at school. Would you like to come in? Nita Sangra steps to one side, exposing a long hallway, richly decorated in red and gold.
PPI time? Are you claiming?
No, PPA. It's time they give us to plan and assess. 3 hours a week. It's a joke. I spend at least that amount of time every night marking and planning lessons. On Sundays, I try to catch up with everything, though I never do.
Nita can see that Clara is determined to remain on the doorstep.
Is there something I can do for you, Clara?
It's your uncle I've come to see. Is he in?
Nita shakes her head. No, it's his day helping out at the community centre. He won't be back until tea time. You can pop down there if you like.
If you like. Clara is not sure that she does like anymore and is beginning to think her idea of what to do with the ring is a stupid one. However, she thanks Nita and walks in the direction of the community centre. Agnes is filling the fish fryer with fresh oil, ready for the lunchtime opening. Sunday, the quietest lunchtime of the week, but enough business to make opening worthwhile. Thump, thump, thump. She looks up at the ceiling and wonders if other residents that live in the flats above the shops can hear it. She looks at her watch. 10:30, too early for music. Thump, thump, thump. She shouts upstairs, Adam, turn that music down.
Since her son Adam moved back into the flat following the breakup of his latest long-term relationship with the girl from Banfield, he has become a teenager again, staying out until the early hours, leaving his clothes wherever they have fallen, and the state of the bathroom after he has used it would have the health inspectors closing down the chip shop. Working with him is fine, but living with him is becoming a nightmare. Thump, thump, thump. Why isn't Cody telling him to turn it down, thinks Agnes, knowing how her husband is usually ready with a sharp word for their son for the slightest misdemeanour. Thump, thump, thump. Then a sound like a klaxon, followed by more thumps in quick succession.
Right, that's it. Adam, turn that music down. Thump, 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 thump. Now! Agnes goes into the yard and returns with a 100-weight bag of potatoes. Adam should be doing this, she thinks, or Cody. Where is Cody? The music is so loud that Agnes can't hear herself think.
She runs up the stairs to Adam's room, but the music is not coming from there. The music is coming from the lounge. She opens the lounge door and is met by the sight of Cody, punching the air, hopping from one foot to the other, almost in time with the music.
Cody, what the...
Agnes reaches over to the music player perched on top of the television and switches off. Cody punches the air one more time and collapses in a heap on the sofa.
What the hell are you doing, Cody? I thought the ceiling was going to come through.
Cody throws his head back and spreads his arms wide. Ah, it's so good.
So good, so loud. Agnes picks up a CD case from the floor. Dance anthems.
Yes, Agnes, some of the best are on here.
Since when have you been interested in dance anthems? I've never seen you dance in all the years I've known you.
I've never found the right music before, and now I have, says Cody with a grin, before a fit of coughing takes him over.
You okay? Asks Agnes, concerned for her husband's health, if only for a brief moment.
Cody rises from the sofa. Ouch! The pain in his lower back shoots through his body.
See? That's what dance anthems does for you. Anyway, how do you know about this music, if it can be called music?
I heard it in a shop and fell in love with it straight away. Cody stretches towards the ceiling in an attempt to relieve the pain.
Which shop? In Leaford? No one plays this stuff in Leaford.
Can't really remember. Maybe in the pub.
Well, I can't imagine Ted or Sally playing this stuff for one moment.
Cody sits back on the sofa. It must have been a shot then. Perhaps Meredith's?
Meredith's? When were you in Meredith's?
I think I'll get some frozen peas on this mussel. Do we have any?
When? Or more to the point, why were you in Meredith's?
Cody feels queasy but cannot decide whether it's from the back pain or his wife's interrogation. I can't say, but hasn't someone got a birthday coming up soon?
Agnes smiles. I'll get you some peas. We need to open soon. Where's Adam?
Oh, he texted last night to say he wouldn't be home until this afternoon. With some fancy woman, no doubt.
Agnes laughs. Fancy woman? I haven't heard that phrase for 40 years. Maybe you should stick to dad dancing. It's more appropriate for men of your age. Clara walks through the main hall of the community centre to the kitchen, where Sutra Singh is washing a paintbrush in the sink. What have you been painting, Sutra?
Oh, just touching up, keeping the place looking nice, you know. Sutra places the brush on a piece of kitchen roll and empties the sink. Clara watches the milky water spin around the waste. What can I do for you, my dear? Says Sutra, drying his hands on a towel.
Clara swallows hard. Sutra, I hope you don't think we've been gossiping, but Ethel has told me about your situation.
Sutra dries each finger in turn, then hangs the towel over a rail at the side of the sink. My situation, and what would that be then?
Clara swallows again. The money you owe, the trouble you're in if you go back to India.
Sutra walks out of the kitchen into the main hall. So, does everyone in Leaford know my situation, Clara? Sutra's voice echoes through the empty hall.
Oh no, certainly not. It's just that Ethel was worried and she needed to tell someone. Clara takes a chair from a pile of three stacked up against the wall and sets it down next to Sutra. She takes hold of his arm. And I'm glad she did, because I can help you.
Sutra turns to look at Clara and she notices a tear in his eye. Help me? How? By talking about me?
No, I really can help you with the money you owe.
Sutra feels Clara's grip on his arm tighten. He notices her bony hand, the fingers slightly bent with the onset of arthritis. Go on then, Clara, tell me.
Clara takes a deep breath. When my mother died, a few years ago now, she left her estate to me and my two sisters. The money, the house and its contents were split three ways. However, she also left each one of us something to remember her by. Martha had her collection of Wedgwood figurines. Dorothy had all her books. And I, Clara reaches into her handbag. This ring.
She places the ring into Sutra's hand. He looks at it for a while. It's beautiful, Clara, but how does it help me?
I believe it's worth quite a lot of money, more than you need to pay off your debt so you and Nita can go to India.
Sutra takes the ring and holds it up to the light. It's very beautiful, Clara, but it's your ring. It was your mother's.
I know, but I've no use for it. It's been in the back of a drawer for years. I'd almost forgotten about it. And then when Ethel mentioned...
My situation?
Yes. Well, I thought it could do some good. You could sell it, pay off your debt, and let me have any money that might be left over.
Sutra shakes his head. I couldn't, Clara. You might need the money to pay for George's care at some point. Why don't you sell it?
I couldn't sell it. It would be wrong. But I can give it to you as a gift to help you.
More tears form in Sutra's eyes.
But Sutra, please don't tell anyone. Even Ethel doesn't know about this.
Sutra nods slowly. I don't know what to say, Clara. I really don't.
Clara gives his arm a firm squeeze. Just say you will, Sutra. That's all you need to say. Cody is lying on the sofa, a packet of frozen peas taped to his back. Along with feeling the worsening pain, he feels guilt as he hears Agnes moving about downstairs. He reaches for his phone and sends a text to Adam, telling him he has had a slight accident and that his mother needs help quickly. Adam responds immediately to say that he can be there in a few minutes.
Good, thinks Cody. It must be a local girl he's with then. He lies back and closes his eyes and thinks of Meredith Park. I'll have to go. Mum's on her own in the chip shop and it's nearly opening time. Dad's had an accident of some sort. Adam pulls on his shirt and trousers.
Meredith sits up suddenly. Oh no, poor Cody. I hope he's okay.
It's probably nothing, but I'd better go. I'll see you later.
Meredith smiles. I hope so, Adam.
He blows her a kiss and runs downstairs.
Thank you. So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who, without their support, we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!